episode 122.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we've got Ray Edwards from RayEdwards.com right here on the show. And he is going to unpack and over-deliver his strategies for having massive success through the use of goals. There's actionable content that you're going to be able to use to take your 2017 to a whole nother level. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start. Where to begin? Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. If I sound excited, it's only because I am. We've got Ray Edwards on the show today. Now, if you don't know Ray, Ray is master and commander of RayEdwards.com. He has the Ray Edwards Show podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts I listen to every week without fail. And he is an internationally known copywriter. But in addition to that, he's a normal guy who had a great life that he has recently been able to take to new levels of amazing through the use of the kind of goals strategies that we've talked about right here on the show. He's a guy just like you and me who every year would set goals in January, and sometimes he would hit them and sometimes he wouldn't. But something changed in 2015 and he has been able to knock it out of the park and totally crush it personally and professionally through the use of goal strategies that I think are going to help you with your 2017. Now, in addition to talking about goals, we kind of ran out of time, so Ray produced some special content just for listeners of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast over at RayEdwards.com/Mark Mason. So in addition to all the great content you're about to hear, when you're done with the show, I want you to go check that out. There's no opt-in or anything, no affiliate link, just a video that you can see about copywriting that I think will help you with your business in 2017. Okay, more about that video later, but right now, let's get into this interview with Ray Edwards. All right. I am very excited. I'm almost beside myself excited about our guest today. My friend Ray Edwards is with us today. Ray, how are you?
I am fantastic, Mark. Thank you.
I am so excited to have you here for so many reasons. Chief among them is, as you know, I'm a fan of the Ray Edwards Show, but I love to bring people on to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast that truly inspire me. The stuff that you do over at your show and the way you conduct yourself and, you know, the personal interactions that we have, you literally inspire me on a weekly basis, which is kind of amazing. And the value of that to me is just infinite. And so I wanted to say thank you. And I wanted to get some of that for my listeners. You up for that?
Absolutely. Thank you for those kind words. I will do my best to live up to them.
I appreciate that. So there may be at least two listeners that don't know who you are. So I'm going to give a little description of how I view you, and then I'd love for you to embellish. Ray is a famous copywriter. That's how I would describe you. In internet marketing circles, Ray, you're very well known for your ability to write amazing copy. In fact, if my listeners want an education on how to write fantastic email copy, I would strongly encourage them to go over to rayedwards.com and join your list just to read the emails. But your copywriting experience, I mean, you've worked for Tony Robbins and lots of other kind of amazing marketers and done lots of big launches and all this kind of stuff. But that's just a kind of a single dimension to your multidimensional life online. And over at rayedwards.com now, you're really teaching people how to change the world by building and growing a business, as the jingle for your podcast says, with a little Christian twist to it, which I find absolutely delightful and fascinating. Can you kind of sum up for these guys how you describe your business these days?
Sure. We help business owners sell more of whatever product or service they sell with integrity, with passion, and without being pushy or sleazy. And the goal is to help people prosper, but to do so with a purpose. Because I think just piling up a treasure for yourself and building your own little kingdom is ultimately not a very satisfying end. Because what will happen to you is you'll get there to the top of the little mountain you built and you'll ask, well, is this all there is? And the answer will be, no, it's not all there is. There's something more. And, you know, my belief is that that something more can be found in God and in his son, Jesus Christ. And not everybody shares that belief. And I understand that. And I never am trying to preach to people or change their mind or convert them or anything like that. I'm just sharing from what is working for me in my life and my business. And I invite people to pick and choose what works for them and walk away with that.
Yeah, and I love that. And the way I would describe that part of it is that your values, your Christian values, inform the way that you choose to run your business. And while that could be a whole nother show about how that works, I have something that I think would be incredibly valuable to unpack for the audience that I would like to talk to you about. Are you up for some deep digging?
Dig away.
All right. So you are, by any measure, an incredibly successful online personality. So you're running a successful business. You've got an incredibly successful website. You've got a podcast with 255 star reviews. Things are great. And this is a very profitable enterprise that you are running in it, and it's very well understood. Recently, you and I both promoted Michael Hyatt's Best Year Ever product. And in as part of that promotion, Michael used a video of you, Ray Edwards, talking about the personal impact that that had had in your life. And to summarize it, you, an incredibly successful person by all rights, were able to use some of the concepts to break through to the whole next level. And I saw some of myself in this. In some ways, what you described was making the same kinds of resolutions year after year and not really quite getting there and not able to really make it happen. And then something changed. So can you describe that place that you, where you were? And then I want to talk about what's the magic? What happened? What was the difference in 2016 for you personally and for your business that allowed that transformation?
Yeah. Where I was, is you've already pointed out, by many measures, I was already successful. And I don't discount that. I was very grateful for the things that we had enjoyed in our business and in our life. But, you know, I knew the, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. And the rest of the story was I had some huge health problems. Many of them stemmed from my use of a fork, in that I used a fork to eat all the wrong foods most of the time. And I was grossly overweight.
I have that same fork.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes,
it
works. I have the same fork. I don't know how that's possible, but we share a fork.
It's kind of scary how well that fork works. But I was 104 pounds too heavy. And I was always conscious, Mark, of the fact that I could be very successful in my business and make a lot of money, but there was a an area where I was not demonstrating the same kind of discipline, and it was visible to anybody who looked at me. And then there were things behind the scenes that people did not and could not see that were also true. And one of them was I was deep in debt. And this is just an interesting observation. It's not always true, but it is often true that obesity and debt seem to go together. They seem like a partnership of some kind. And I think there's an underlying, in many cases, an underlying causality.
And we should point out, I guess, that you were in debt despite the fact that by a lot of people's standards, you were generating a lot of money.
Oh, I was making what for most people would be a lot of money. Yes. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in income. And I was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. We were nearly $500,000 into consumer debt. By consumer debt, I mean like credit cards and loans and car loans and things like that. And there was more. I had made resolutions every year for the last 10 to 15 years to fix these things, to fix my health, to fix my debt problem, to create a retirement income for my family, for my wife, to relieve her of the stress that I was putting her through with this constant money struggle. And I felt like it was an integrity issue because I kept saying I was going to do certain things and I did not do them. And you know, as each year goes by, you begin to realize through the course of your life, there's at some point, there's fewer years ahead of you than there are behind you. And then I got a diagnosis of a medical condition that really highlighted that for me. And it just got me to a point where I realized, you know, it's time I've either got to put up or shut up. I've either got to do the things that I've said I'm going to do or stop lying to myself and stop lying to everybody that I say these things to. And just face up to the fact that I'm going to be fat and broke and sick for the rest of my life. That was my rock bottom. I realized I have to either decide that I'm going to do something about this or face who I really am.
And the backdrop for this is, by many measures, including by my own personal measure, you're incredibly successful. I mean, the image that you had out there was, you know, weight aside, we all could use to lose a little weight, I guess, would be the way I would have viewed that at the time. Who am I to criticize those who need to lose weight? But there was this big conflict, and it wasn't for lack of trying, right? I mean, I know you were very serious, and you mentioned this in some context. I can't remember that every year you would essentially try to attack this problem in the way that I think most people do. You'd have these resolutions and plans and even get started to kind of turn the ship with regard to health and fitness, and it didn't really happen, right? I mean, is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, that's absolutely where I was.
So you're failing over and over and over again. And the reason that I resonated so strongly with this is I have similar goal. I mean, I don't have $500,000 in consumer debt, but I have similar goals that I can point to where every year I talk about, well, this is the year I'm going to get down to, you know, I'm going to lose 40 or 50 pounds. And it never happens. In fact, I usually end up gaining 5. And I don't think it's just you and me, Ray.
No. I think it's a very common experience, but I had reached a point where, Mark, I was determined I was either going to have the uncommon experience or I was going to face the facts. And for me, this was a really desolate place to be because for me, it meant if I admit that I'm just not going to set goals anymore, I'm not going to lie and say I'm going to lose weight. I'm not going to lie and say I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to realize I'm just going to keep being fat and undisciplined and broke. I mean, I had great income and I never lied about that. But I didn't tell the whole story. And so the whole story was that when you have that kind of debt, it weighs on you like a stone around your neck. And I realized either I got to stop lying and do something, or I've just got to face this is how life is. And for me, that felt hopeless. It felt like saying, you know what? All this time I've said life can be good. And the truth is life is, it just sucks. And I was, I was just unwilling to say that. And that really sprang from my faith that God has promised us something better. And so it was tied up with that also. It meant that I was going to have to say, well, God, you lied too.
Right. Which that presents a whole nother set of problems, right?
I knew that wasn't true.
So at that point, and this would have been at the end of 2015, I can distinctly remember, because we worked through some of this in our mastermind group, you went through this process that Michael Hyatt offers, this best year ever process. And the results are, for your 2016, are miraculous. And the best year ever is closed. We're not selling that here. What I want to understand is, first, what is it that you were able to accomplish in 2016? And then I want to talk about how, because I feel like there have to be some core ideas that we can dig out of this transformation that you've gone through that my listeners can use and apply in their own lives, starting like as soon as this recording ends.
Yeah. So first of all, I would, in all fairness, I want to say I started this journey in 2015. So it was kind of a ramping up. But 2015, I accomplished some cool things. But 2016 was the year of amazing progress, for sure.
So let's talk about 2 years. So over the last 2 years, what have you been able to change and accomplish in your life versus where you started?
Okay. So these numbers will be a little bit different. If you saw the video or some of my emails, they'll be a little bit different because time has passed. But I've lost 60 pounds of fat. We paid off all of our consumer debt except for the mortgage on the house. And we've cut that almost in half, and we will pay that off in a few months if things continue to go as they're going.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the day I can go do my debt-free scream on Dave Ramsey's show in his studio. I'm not going to do it on the phone. I'm going to go to Nashville and do it there.
So you know Dave, right?
Well, we've met. I think to say I know him would be a stretch.
Okay.
We've met a couple times, and we have some very close mutual friends.
So that must have been uncomfortable, meeting Dave Ramsey with $500,000 of debt in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, because I was, this is the truth. I was totally afraid he would look me in the eye and say, so how much consumer debt do you have? Now, he'd never do that. He's too classy a guy to do that. But it was, he kind of feels like my dad in a way. I'm like, he has that dad x-ray vision, and I know he's going to see right to the problem. So we paid off it was almost $500,000 in consumer debt. I read the Bible through 4 times in the year, 4 90-day cycles through the Bible. And I mean, I actually read it. I didn't speed read it or skim it. I didn't skip Leviticus.
I would have forgiven you for that.
I didn't understand much of Leviticus, but I read
it. Noted.
I had a goal that was lower than this, but in the end, the count was about 70 books other than the Bible. So I'm not like counting those 66 books as part of my total. Because the Bible, for those of you who don't know, is made up of 66 separate books. And my relationship with my wife was deepened, which I would have thought was nearly impossible because we had a great relationship. I took a 30-day sabbatical from work, and I was mostly successful at that. It was I need to practice on that one. I was a few years ago diagnosed with a degenerative neurological disorder that the doctor said this will never get better. It's just only going to get worse. And that's the universal prognosis for this. It's Parkinson's disease is what I'm talking about. And I just decided I don't accept that. And so toward the third quarter of this past year, 2016, I went for my quarterly exam with my neurologist. And after talking with me for a few minutes, he put his pen down. He said, you know, you actually seem better. And I said, well, I am better. And he said, but that does not happen with this disease. And I said, well, I beg to differ. And he laughed and he said, so what are you doing? And we talked. I mean, for me, all these things come first and foremost through the grace of God. And then he provides vehicles for these things to happen. But those are the highlights of the things that occurred during the last year. And nobody is more amazed, Mark, than I am. I don't say all this to brag and say, look at how special I am. I really share it because I hope that it will inspire somebody to go and do the things and tackle the things in their life that challenge them.
Me. It inspires me. That's why you're on the show today, because that's exactly the reaction that I had. I heard the story and I was there. I saw it, right? I mean, we talk once a week, right? And I saw this happen, and it was just so remarkable. Because it's not like you were starting at zero or minus 12. I mean, this is a successful guy, right, who just came to a whole nother level and slayed all these demons on the way, by the way. And so that's the context for this conversation. So now, how? I mean, what, when you look back at this, let's call it a 2-year journey, what did you do differently? What changed? What's the big takeaway for you? And how are you going to do it again when the time comes to do it again? Which I assume you're planning that 2017 is going to be a continuation of this kind of going forward, right? So how? Yeah. How? What's the magic?
Well, I'm going to tell you, and before I do, I want to give this disclaimer. It shouldn't take this dramatic a revelation for everybody. I hope you don't have to experience it the way I did, but this diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, as I learned more about what they said was going to be in store for me, I developed a very cold, chilling feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I had this revelation that this could be it. This could be the beginning of the end. You could have seen your best days. Things could only get worse from here, and you could go into disability and ultimately into death and have failed at most of the things you promised the people you love you were going to do in your life. And your legacy will be Ray, the liar, and the failure. And that's how I felt. And it made me literally physically sick to my stomach. And something in me rose up, and I became furiously angry. And not at first it was at myself. And then I realized, no, I'm not angry with myself. And this will be crazy time for some people. But I believe that there is God and that there is the adversary. Yes, the devil. I believe in the devil, so you can do with that what you will. But he is the enemy of our souls. And I think I just realized nothing will make that guy happier than to see me end up like that. And that sparked a fire in my belly. And I said, that will not happen. I will either dig out of this pit or I will die trying. I was going to do whatever it took. And I sat down and had this conversation with my wife and my son. And I said, this is where I've been. I'm just admitting to you guys, I know what you already know. I've just talked a good game all these years and I haven't really done any of these things. And you probably think this is just another time of Ray saying, this time it'll be different. This time I'll really change. I mean, it sounds like an addict.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that. I know they love you and we're probably incredibly supportive, but in the back of their mind, they must have been just like, well, here we go again.
Yeah. I'm sure that they had those feelings and I knew it at the time. But I knew something else, and I knew that I was either going to do it or I was going to die trying. And so using that leverage and keeping that reality in front of me, I then began to look at the other side. I mean, that was the stick that motivated me. What was the carrot? And the carrot was, I believe that God has created a destiny for each of us that is better than we could possibly imagine. And that he has good things in store for us, and that all of his promises are yes and amen. And that's kind of churchy language. What does that mean, really? It means if we will just believe and move forward, we will be rewarded for that belief. And look, I know there are people who are in circumstances that they're not going to perhaps in a practical way be able to move as far as fast as others of us can. I mean, if we live in America and we have a minimum wage job, we are in the richest 2% of people in the world. We have an advantage. So I realize that it's a matter of degrees, that somebody who's living in Haiti has a different set of challenges than I do. I understand that. But I also know that those of us who live in America or in a developed country, we have an advantage and we have a responsibility to be a good steward of what we've been given and make the most of it, express the most value so that we can help those other people. And that was a huge driver that also pushed and pulled me forward.
Wow. So strong motivation, clear direction. What about tactics?
Well, of course, I used Michael's Best Year Ever program, and I'll just, I'm not going to rehash or re-express his material, but I will say that some of the tools that are in there that really worked for me were getting clear about not only what my goals were, but limiting the number of goals I focused on, then defining with great detail the reasons why. Because that's really important. If you don't know why you're doing something, when it gets tough, you'll just quit. And so I've really spent a lot of time writing out in detail why these things are important to me, and also writing out in detail what will be the consequences if I don't accomplish this.
Right. So weight loss as a really good example of this, rather than just saying, I'm going to lose weight because that's what everyone says I should do, or it's what is expected of me, or whatever. You really unpacked it.
Yeah. And unpacking it looked something like this. If I don't lose this weight, I will be a liar. I will lose the respect of my family. I will lose my self-respect. I will probably develop diabetes. I will probably develop heart disease. I will probably shorten the span of my life. I will probably accelerate the progression of Parkinson's disease in my body. I will become miserable and more sick in every possible way. And those were the consequences of not following through. And also, I made most of my goals, not all of them, but most of them I made public. So there was just the shame factor. Like, if I don't do this, I'm going to be really ashamed.
Right. Accountability would be the term I would use for that. Right. But your goals weren't limited to these personal weight loss and health goals. I mean, you had some very aggressive financial goals for your business that probably are very similar to the kinds of goals, at least in change, in percentage that people that are listening to this podcast have. And I take it that you went through that same process with these financial goals to really kind of unpack and understand what the true core motivation was for those goals as well?
Yes. And I should say, for every goal, I listed the cost of not achieving the goal, and then I listed the benefits of achieving it. And frankly, I made the costs list longer than the benefits list, because the truth is, whether we like it or not, human beings are more motivated to get out and stay out of pain than they are to chase after pleasure. It's just how, I believe it's how we're physiologically wired. So I just decided to use my brain's own proclivities to achieve the things that I wanted to achieve.
One of the approaches that you've used for weight loss is to restrict the amount of non-value added carbs, sugar, and stuff like that. And in the moment when I'm about to eat that piece of cake, or when I need to be working on my business, and in the moment when I make that decision to go watch NCIS or whatever instead, back in January, you listed all these consequences. Now it's March and you're trying to decide whether or not to eat the sticky bun at that coffee shop that you and Sean go to. How did that work? How did you keep that with you all year long?
Well, I failed often. And what I discovered about myself is I don't have enough willpower to do it by willpower alone. So a big part of the answer for me was to remove the temptation to not have the carbs in the house, to not go to places that serve the kinds of things that I'm really tempted to eat that I shouldn't. And there's a saying, and this may be offensive, so you might want to edit this out, but there's a saying that goes like this. Nobody goes to a whorehouse looking for a ham sandwich.
I'm not editing that out.
It would be a big mistake for me to go to the Cheesecake Factory.
Right.
So I avoided that. I tried to keep most of the stuff out of the house. Now, it's a challenge if you live in a house of people who don't have the same dietary restrictions as you, and they like to keep stock of Oreos. You have to exercise some discipline. It was a battle. It still is a battle. I mean, I must be honest. I've had periods where I've been really good about that and periods where I have not been so good. And part of the core strategy for me is to be honest about where I am. So I don't lie to people. If I'm having trouble, if I'm eating stuff I shouldn't be eating, then I tell everybody who will listen and tell them I'm working on getting back on track with this. So by the grace of God, I have not gained weight back, but I did plateau for a while because of that very reason. So I think for each of us in these areas, especially the ones that we struggle with, it's unrealistic to expect the struggle is going to magically go away. So you got to have a strategy for how to handle it when it comes up.
And I heard you say on your podcast that you've the 60 pounds that you've lost is 60 of 100 total that you intend to lose. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay. So I think the big takeaway for me for all this is that wherever you're starting, whether you're successful or you see yourself as successful or you don't, you see yourself as being able to achieve things or not. When you're at this place where you've got a place that you're trying to go to and you can't get there, there's hope for you. There's a way that it is possible to achieve these things. And this is evidenced by the transformation that you made. So for someone who's in your kind of situation that where they've been dreaming of building this business for years and every year this is going to be the year, or they've been dreaming of losing weight for years and every year this has been the year, or they've been dreaming about finally starting the retirement fund or finally fixing their marriage or finally doing the thing, what's your advice for those people? Because this episode that we're doing now is going to air right at the beginning of 2017. And I want to leave people today with something that they can take away and go do. What is that, Ray?
I would take the time to get alone for a few hours at the very least, away from your normal environment, away from distractions, and think about the things that the areas of your life that most are in need of attention. And you probably already know what those areas are, but I think it's really important to write them down with a pen on paper and write down what's not happening in this area of my life that needs to happen. And then do what I mentioned earlier, write down, what's the cost of me not fixing this problem? What will ultimately happen? And go all the way. What's the worst possible outcome? If I never take care of this, what will happen? What are the consequences? And then do the opposite and write down, what are the benefits? If I actually do take care of this, then what benefits will I enjoy? What will my life be like then? Whose respect will I earn? Who will I demonstrate my love to if I do these things? And when you're writing out the cost, don't forget the cost to people that you love. And really, it's about getting clear on the why. You know, Michael Hyatt's wife, Gail, has a saying. She says, people who lose their why lose their way. And I think that is supremely important. In fact, my apologies to Mike Hyatt. I think that's the most brilliant part of his course, is that quote from Gail.
Yeah, it is quite brilliant, actually. And he dutifully gives her credit every time he says it.
Yep. And then once I've done that, I would write down the specific outcomes that I intend to achieve in the coming year. Don't just say I want to lose weight, but be specific. I want to lose 75 pounds by December 1, 2017 at 5 p.m. Pacific time. I'm actually that specific in my goals. And then when you've done that and you feel solid about those, no more than seven goals, other people differ. But I think trying to achieve more than seven big goals is kind of a big load to carry. And then I would go share those goals with the people that you love and trust the most in your life who have a stake in your outcome, and say to them, as I said to my family, these are my goals for the year. I'm going to need your help. I'm giving you permission. When you see me getting off track, I promise that I will do my best not to get angry with you. But if I do, you remind me in that moment, Ray, you told me I could say this. And I'll eventually recover my sanity and apologize to you. So those are hard things to do. But anything worth working for is worth working hard for.
Yeah, tell me that again.
Anything worth working for is worth working hard for.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is a completely inappropriate emotion, but I'm very proud of your accomplishments. This is, you know, it's a great story. It's so great because I think we often see successful people as having everything and having it all figured out. And successful people are, they're people, right? And, yeah. And I think, you know, your willingness to share this journey with my listeners is super helpful. And I wish you all the best in the new year and a Merry Christmas. And what I want to know is, I think there are going to be a lot of my listeners who want more Ray after this dose. Where should they go to get some more Ray?
Well, I have created a special gift for your audience.
You have.
I have. And since my specialty that I'm known for is persuasive communication to sell your products and services and also your ideas. So even if you're not, you don't have an online business, but you just need to convince people that the restaurant you want to go to for dinner is the right one.
Or the affiliate product that they're recommending is the right product.
Or the affiliate product is the right product. I would invite you to get a short but powerful, I believe, video that I prepared for you called The Three Keys to Persuasive Communication. And you can find that video waiting for you at rayedwards.com/Mark Mason. And true to your level of integrity and generosity, there will be no opt-in required for people to get that video.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you very much. I hope you'll have an opt-in form nearby, because I really do recommend that people that are marketers should be on your list to see how a real copywriter sends email. It really is a study.
Well, thank you for that. I will have an opt-in form available, but it will not be required to get the video.
Very good. You are very kind, sir. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best in this holiday season for you and your family. I hope that Christmas is wonderful for you. I know it will be here, and we'll be thinking about you during the holiday season. And I look forward to spending time with you next year.
Same here, Mark. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, to your family, and to your listeners.
Awesome. Thanks, Ray. Bye-bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed that intimate conversation with Ray Edwards. That's a peek behind the curtain there. And I hope that it's instructive for you that even successful people have these struggles that you and I have. And they, you know, they fight these things. And if they can overcome them, we can overcome them too. And I hope you found some things in there, some actionable nuggets you can go get, particularly about understanding your why. Why is it that you've set these goals that you set for 2017? What happens if you are unable to achieve them? And what happens if you are able to achieve them? These are really good ways to approach getting yourself motivated to actually finally complete these goals that you set at the beginning of the year, to lose that weight, to build the business, whatever it is that you're going to do. If that's something you struggle with, I hope this discussion with Ray has helped. And I want to encourage you to go watch the copywriting video over at rayedwards.com/Mark Mason. Again, no opt-in required, no affiliate links, none of that. Just go check that video out. That will help you with your persuasive copy, as Ray mentioned, both on your blog or in your life. Until next week, I hope you have an absolutely amazing January. Remember, January is going to lead to February, and then it's going to be March, and then it'll be summertime. So let's get some stuff done in January and see where that takes us. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
So my Dallas Cowboys will be playing this weekend. They'll be playing Green Bay. And, you know, I'm hoping for the best and preparing for the worst, because Green Bay's got a pretty good quarterback. I don't know if you guys have checked this guy out, but mad respect for Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's thrown almost 300 touchdowns in his career in the NFL. So he's a force, man. Cowboys are going to have to show up and get it done with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. So we'll see how that goes. But if the next episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast is very delayed or I seem really sad, it's because something bad happened. But I'm hoping for the best. Talk to you next week.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.